Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it. Hello, I'm Robert Washburn, and welcome to Consider This Northumberland, a current affairs program dedicated to the issues facing our community. We talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life in Northumberland County. So I'm asking you, the listener, to take some time out of your busy day to consider this. Back in September 2024, a local gravel pit company made a request to Cramie Township Council to extend its operation to 24 hours a day. Within its application, it proposed a possible asphalt plant. Since then, nearby residents and others have raised a long list of concerns about the impact of the proposed plant. In fact, a group was formed to oppose it called the Cramie Residents Advocates Association. On today's show, you'll hear from the chairperson for this group. She will outline the group's concerns and their understanding of the possible impacts of the proposed plant.
I'm so pleased to have with me today Lydia Dvernchuk, chair of the Cramie Residents Advocates Association. Welcome to Consider This Northumberland.
Thank you.
Back in September of 2024, an application was made to Cramie Township Council to extend the hours of operation of a gravel pit to 24 hours at a site on Telephone Road. Now, in its application, the company says there is a proposal to include an asphalt plant. How did you find out about this application?
I didn't find out about it until November. And it was texted over to me anonymously. That, I think, was on a Thursday. On a Saturday, a procession of cars drove up my driveway from local residents to explain that they had heard the same thing, and could we put a little group together to begin to examine if this were in fact the case.
So how did it spread throughout the community then?
Actually, there had been somebody that was very active in this. We immediately found her. She was on Telephone Road. We connected with her. She had a Facebook page, and she went to every council meeting. Unfortunately, we don't have many journalists around anymore that sit at council, so we don't get these things reported to us. So this was a bit alarming. By the time we talked to Jackie, there was about a group of six or seven of us that were very concerned, all on Telephone Road. I sit directly next to it. I'm a farm, about 100 acres, directly next to this pit. And this was an alarming event for us. At any rate, it didn't take long for us to put out word through Jackie and through her Facebook account. On January 19th, we held a meeting. We put together flyers. We distributed flyers in the affected area, what we believed was the affected area. We rented a hall in Dundonald, and we were surprised to see between 80 and 100 people came out to hear about this, because firstly, we went out on the streets. We actually went to take signatures. And nobody knew. And this is in the immediate vicinity. Nobody knew. So we gathered all told about 310 to 20 and counting signatures. Then we held the meeting. We put out flyers for the meeting. And as I said, it was attended by about between 80 and 100 people off and on. Some came and went. The atmosphere was very cordial, very professional. People wanted to hear what would happen in our area, in our community.
How did you form the Cramie Residents Advocates Association? How was that born out of this?
Well, we had at that point, the small group of us began to reach out and connect to environmental lawyers, municipal lawyers, planners, etc. And we were told our best effort was to immediately incorporate. That was one of the very first things they told us. And yes, it had to do with the possibility of people being rather litigious. It could provide us with some protection. So that's exactly what we did. We incorporated. We have a board of directors. We have officers, and it's growing.
So, how many people do belong to the group now?
The officers and directors at this stage of the game, we have six that are named. When I incorporated it, we can go from 3 to 10 directors, not officers. But when I incorporated, the systems only allowed me to input six. So there's some restrictions, and they said just send the information to them, which we are in the process of doing. But we have a number of we have six directors that are that were filed. We will probably have 10 and a number of officers as well, and subgroups.
Tell me more about the number of people, just the general public, people who are concerned, advocate. How many of those belong to this association?
I'm not sure how they can belong to the association. The association was set up to add feet to what we believed was right, and we wanted to get the word out. The subcommittees include things that we are just now organizing with respect to fundraising, etc., because we are going to have to pay for some of the information we get and the assistance we get. There were the incorporation papers. There are a number of things that we have to fundraise for. So those things are all coming together as we speak. We only incorporated last week, and we are having another meeting this week to expand upon this foundation that we've currently built.
If people are listening, can
Yes.
you explain what they can do?
Yes. We have bought all the domains. And we will probably be able to launch our website on Friday and a GoFundMe page as well. And on the website, we will detail everything that we've done, everything that we would like to do, and we will have a response page. We've already received thousands of pictures from people around Little Lake. We've received pictures from adjacent properties to the current pit, from the lands that flood that are adjacent to the pit. We've got one person that told us that not only when the flooding occurs, which is going to be likely with this spring with the type of weather we've had, but the stream that appears through his farm, he's actually watched otters float by. So we've got some amazing pictures. All of those will be on the website. And as we collect more and more data from more and more professionals, that will also go up on the website for everybody's edification so that they can read what we're seeing, what information we're pulling in, who we're getting it from, who we had to hire, how much we had to pay. The entire process will be pure transactional and absolutely visible to everybody.
Lydia, I'd like to now talk a little bit about the objections that you're making to this proposed asphalt plant. And in a document being circulated to opponents, a number of objections are listed. And I'd like to go through them one at a time, if we could.
Sure.
First, I'd like to look at the potential contamination of drinking water. What's that about?
Well, the current pit is about, I'm not sure exactly, but I'm going to state that it is, there's two sections to the pit, each registered at different times. The original pit opened up in 1978. I'm assuming because they severed a lot of pieces off the original 100 acres, it's a long, narrow strip. And when they severed off the pieces at the bottom, I think there's about 20 acres that they severed off that are now rural residential with houses on them. They're anywhere from 8 acres to 2 acres to 1 acre. There are eight of those. Above those properties sits a large component of environmentally zoned lands that feed into the entire Biddy Creek conservation area. And then the pit begins. And that's from the south end on Crandall Road, is where all the houses were built. So I'm assuming that probably the balance of the two pits now is probably between 76 and 80 acres. I'm just assuming that 20 was severed off. The area of the environmental zoning, which has a very irregular shape, I'm going to assume is probably 10 acres. And then the balance from the original 100 is what is left. The fact that it sits on an environmentally zoned component, and there are houses on the other side of that, so a stone throw, suggests that any kind of contamination that could occur would end up in the wells of the people that are adjacent to the pit and into the wetlands that travel over to Little Lake. The wetlands travel under Crandall Road, a viaduct that leads into Little Lake, and Little Lake residence is highly, highly populated. I've asked for the number of homes on it, but I haven't got an accurate number, but it's very dense.
Where do most people living in that area get their drinking water?
We are all on well and septic.
Now, you mentioned Little Lake, and that was another one of your objections, and you call it Little Lake Recreational Area. For those, again, who are not familiar with the area, can you describe this recreational area?
Little Lake is Crammy's jewel. It is an absolute jewel. It is clay-based, white clay-based bottom. And there are times in the summer when you look at it and it looks like a Bohemian lake because it has the white clay bottom. It is absolutely beautiful. It is highly populated, but there is a section on Lake Road that is open to the public. And it has been our jewel forever. It has been a part of every one of our homes. When all of our kids were growing up, it was the place to go.
So, what are your concerns then that's going to happen if the asphalt plant opens?
Our concern is when accidents occur, and I say when accidents occur, and when we know the flow of water and we know where that water will end up if it has been contaminated, we just take a look at the topography and where that contamination may go. We can talk about mitigating. You can't mitigate a disaster. We're asking them to prevent a disaster.
You also mentioned Biddy Creek wetland and damage to that wetland. And in fact, just last week on my show, I had the Northumberland Land Trust and Ducks Unlimited talking about purchasing these lands and preserving them for natural heritage. What has your group worried about this particular aspect?
I think Ducks Unlimited and the Biddy Creek Foundation, as far as we're concerned, is wonderful. A fair portion of this resides on my land as well, and it is growing. I've been on the land on my farm for over 40 years, and I have watched it ebb and flow, but it has grown over the years with our weather conditions. There is nothing around it, nothing that can pollute it. So yes, I believe these are areas because it is such a large area. It encompasses the entire pit, part of my property, and everything to the east and north. So it is a significant wetland that needs to be protected. and needs to be watched over.
There's also concern about the permanent devaluation of local homes. And am I correct in understanding you live adjacent to the
Yes.
property, the gravel pit? So can you give us some details about those concerns as well?
You mentioned my property, so I'll talk to it. As I said, this is a very narrow strip of land. So if you take a picture from the hill that my house is situated on, you see in the foreground my property, the pit, and the other side of the property, which is farmland and rural land. My house is built on a rise, and that rise is 66 meters above the floor of the pit. I am exactly 66 feet, which is the extent of the unmaintained road that separates us from the pit, the entire length of Dunk Road, or most of the length of Dunk Road. It's a short, unmaintained road. To farm a number of fields at the bottom of Dunk Road, the only way to access those fields, because I start on Telephone Road, but I can only access the bottom fields from Dunk Road. The valuation to my property would be extreme should this go through. Extreme. They stated yesterday at an official council meeting that their intention is to put in not a portable, but a permanent asphalt plant. Fumes, particulates rise. My house would be unlivable.
This location has been a gravel pit for many years, as you've noted earlier in our conversation. Some people might argue that you knew the kind of area you were moving into. What would you say to those people?
Actually, I did. I bought the farm from parents, so I can tell you that the farm that I am on is it was established before the pit. The pit was a gravel pit. At that point in time, there was no automatic rezoning to an asphalt plant. In order to do that, you had to get an OPA amendment. So as time went on, and unbeknownst to most people who don't follow OPA amendments and major provincial adjustments, that became part of their whole Lexus as far as the official plans go. If this is across the province, if there has been an extractive license, some of the other operations that you can then do includes the asphalt plant, and you do not have to get an official plan amendment to do it. All pits are not born of equal size or equal value. There is no question that the pit cannot sustain itself any longer. It has been in use for 48 years. Most of the gravel has been taken out. They stated last night at the meeting there may be 5 years, but I will challenge that.
Roads are another key concern. What's going on there?
These are not regional roads and they are not MTO. Observed roads. These roads are county roads or country roads, municipal roads, and to be frank, they are in a questionable state right now. The price per meter to fix these was discussed last night, and it was well beyond the price that a council or a township would receive on a per ton stipend from any pit. Dunk Road is an unmaintained road. Crandall Road has been under construction for years. Telephone Road is not built to the standard to handle major trucking. If major trucking should occur, what it would then involve is probably putting in shoulders, because we're talking about large trucks and we're also talking about school buses and farm equipment and everybody that lives on the roads coming and going from their own establishments. So shoulders would have to be put on, which means they probably would have to expropriate some land for that. That could be difficult. The township has already asserted they have to increase our tax load because the roads are becoming too expensive. We have a relatively small tax base, but the roads cost the same as they do in Oshawa and Toronto. To widen the road, it wouldn't be feasible. We couldn't afford it. The taxes that would come from the plant would not provide additional dollars to supplement it. So it would come from the residents.
Air pollution from the
A lot of
plant. Sorry, was there something else you wanted to add?
yes, there's a lot of talk about the fact that this is so close to the 401. And I'd like to let people know that right across the 401, there's land on both sides of the 401. No matter where you go, you'll find land on both sides. It's a given. This land, however, is not amenable to heavy truck traffic. It has been zoned and rezoned to mostly rural residential, some rural. So we have 8-acre parcels with a bit of a barn. It's really a rural subdivision. Some people having only 1 acre, some 2, some 8, and a lot of lots that have yet to be built on. It is larger in capacity for homes than a settlement area. It is a community, and it stretches across Crammy and flows into Brighton. It has a marvelous KOA. It's got Little Lake. It has all kinds of home businesses in this area. And we all grew our kids up in this area, so we know it well. We know the people that live here. We know the people that are going to be affected.
Air pollution is another aspect. Can you explain what you expect is going to happen there?
We've done enough reading and research, so I'm not going to quote them. I don't understand them completely, but I know that there is significant particulates that end up being airborne from an asphalt plant. Those particulates, dust, and a number of other highly toxic elements do go into the air. They settle on the ground. They settle on farm fields, they settle on cows, they settle on horses, and they settle on dogs. We know that particulate is dangerous. We know from studies, and I took most of the studies from the States, that their impact is significant right down to prenatal impacts.
Noise is another concern, one of the
Yes.
last ones. Tell us what you're concerned about around noise.
Well, we can look at the truck noise. We can look at the noise that they make when they unload, because this pit, again, does not have much resource left in it. So you would, they claim that they have a license to take out 400,000 tons a year. But if they have little to no resources left in the pit, that means they also have to bring in 400,000 tons to mix it. So we have the truck traffic itself. The clanging and the banging of the trucks when they unload that material. To heat it, typically they use diesel generators, which are very noisy, and in an environment like ours, noise travels a great distance. Any noise would be heard for a long, long way away. And if they have a 24-hour license to operate, it essentially means that all of our health is at stake, because most of us won't be able to block out that noise through the nighttime hours.
Now, there are two regulatory aspects to this. So I want to be clear. It is the Ministry of Natural Resources that grants licenses for asphalt plants. So what is your group doing to address this aspect of your opposition?
We've put in our objection to the asphalt plant itself, just basically saying this is the wrong location, the absolute wrong location. And our own official plan reiterates that, as does the provincial policy statement, as does the greater Horseshoe, Golden Horseshoe area policy statement. all of them do agree that an asphalt plant can be placed in a pit, but there are exceptions. And we state that those exceptions, as they are described in every one of those policy statements, basically rule out this plant from being built in this location.
Now, Crammy Council does not have any jurisdiction in this, only in its ability to grant a 24-hour extension for the hours of operation. But the plant itself is not part of their purview. What are your objectives when it comes to the Township Council?
We presented a number of things yesterday at the council meeting. We are asking them not to give this plant 24-hour operation. The plant and the owners have played down their impact in the area, including the 24 hours, suggesting that it would only be on occasion. And their suggestion is that it would only be a little envelope of time where they may be able to secure a contract with the MTO for the 401. And it almost sounds as though the only area that they would be looking at was directly in front of the pit on the 401, directly to the south of the pit. But I would contend that if you were going to put up a permanent asphalt plant, that your aspirations are much greater, and that your aspirations to work with the MTO on a much larger level for all kinds of roads under their jurisdiction would be the reason for a permanent plant. That being said, that 24-hour grant of time, which is not unusual in an industrial environment, but that grant becomes an asset to that company. And that 24 hours then can be extended to anything, any operation, and any contract, not just the 401.
The township is just another intervener at the ministry level when it comes to the asphalt plant. What do you expect them to do, if anything, as an intervener?
I would hope that the council, who have been elected by us to represent us, would deny the 24 hours a day, that they would look into it more closely to see what the long-term ramifications of that agreement would be. And even if they did not need an OPA change of any kind, they could still object, under the guise that it did not follow the official plan because of the exceptions that are written in it, that it sits on an environmentally precocious area. And also that over the years, because Crammy could not attract large industry, they allowed severances everywhere, which, by the way, now goes along with the provincial policy statement. However, the end result is that this is a community largely supported over all these years with our tax dollars and our commitment to the area. And now we are telling council that this proposal threatens our very existence in the area.
Now, it's when I say they're interveners, they're just like anybody else when it comes to the Ministry of Natural Resources, and council doesn't have to become engaged necessarily in that. That's a decision, obviously, that they're going to make.
Yes.
But when I spoke to Mayor Mandy Martin recently, she said that this public meeting that you talked about that happened earlier this week, was there a chance for them to listen to citizens? At this meeting, did you get any sense of where council was standing on this issue or staff? Was there any sort of a reveal or something that you felt was
Yes.
indicating there's a direction? What was it?
Actually, I'm not sure if there was direction. The planners, on behalf of the current owners, described what they were doing. And the reaction of the council was, "You're too vague. You're not answering our questions. We have asked you direct, absolute questions, and all you've said to us is that you'll get back to us. You don't know what tonnage is left in the." Any question that was asked, there was no answer to. It was very vague. And we heard from council themselves that they felt that the planning of this site. And the presentation last night was so vague that they had no more information at the end of it than they had going in. That they understood the concerns of all of the citizens that had attended this meeting in our own confusion because no answers had been answered, save and except for one. The council members asked the planners if this plant was to be a portable plant or a permanent plant. And the answer was permanent, but nothing else was answered.
I'm going to be a devil's advocate for a moment and present a different view to you. The company has many resources and professionals and lawyers working for them. It would not be doing anything lightly if it felt that it was not going to be successful in the end. It would not be laying out all this money if it thought that there wasn't a chance that they would not win. Does that intimidate you?
No,
Why not?
because there are always two sides to every equation, always. I understand the business side very, very well. I understand the financial side very, very well. But I still stand in the position that says we, the people of this area, will ultimately supplement the cost that this company will ensure we are exposed to. And we do not believe that it is our position to supplement a for-profit company with our own assets.
Napanee went through a very similar experience a couple years ago with the rezoning of a piece of property to create an asphalt plant. Are you familiar, yes or no, with that case?
I'm vaguely familiar, yes.
Okay. So there was a similar residents group in opposition. There were many of the same arguments that you've offered today and make that were made by this residents group. And even the Canadian Environmental Law Association took on this case. Now, after multiple hearings over several years, it went all the way to the Ontario Land Tribunal and the plant was improved. What do you think is going to be different in this case?
Completely, two completely different sets of circumstances. The pit in Napanee is three, four times the size of this pit. It has a buffer zone. According to the Ministry of Environment, the closest they can come to another property is 600 meters. We have properties that abut. There is no meter separation. I am only 66 feet away. There was no environmental concerns. From a road perspective, they sat on number two highway under the jurisdiction of the MTO. According to the MTO, that's what these highways were built to handle. Municipal roads were not built to handle the number and size of the trucks that will be trucking in and out of this pit. The vibrations alone could cause major difficulties to older houses, newer houses, wells, and even septic systems that exist. We asked if any of these studies were going to be undertaken, and the answer was no, we don't need to do any of that.
How far is your group prepared to go to fight this plant?
All the way. If we each lose 50% of the value of our properties, we might as well invest that in getting our properties back.
Lydia, what gives you hope?
It is always there. It isn't over until it's over. Optimism will continue until the end, and we will not stop.
Lydia Dvornchuk, thank you so much for talking to me today.
Thank you.
That was Lydia Dvornichuk, chair of the Crammy Residents Advocates Association. I want to thank my guests this week for talking to me, and I want to thank all the listeners for tuning in today. Please join me again next week when we will talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life and Northumberland County. So please tune in. If you would like to listen or share this or any podcast, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. There you will find past podcasts, news, and other information about life and politics in Northumberland County. Or you can go to the radio station's website at northumberland897.ca. I'm Robert Washburn. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen in, and I hope over the week you will continue to consider this. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening, and stay tuned for more from Consider This.